All right, so let's begin. So I want to show you actually a very beautiful idea from the Rebbe and Parshas Korach. I apologize, it came out a little bit grainy, but we'll go through it together. So remember again, Parshas Korach begins with the rebellion of Korach against Moshe Rabbeinu. And the pasuk says, "Vayikalu al Moshe al Aaron, vayomer aleihem rav lochem ki kol ha'ida kulam kidoshim b'socham Hashem." So Korach says to Moshe and to Aaron, "Rav lochem, you've taken enough for yourselves, because everyone is Kaddish, everyone is holy. Ubisocham Hashem, the Ribono Shel Olam resides within everyone. Umadua tisnasu al hakal Hashem. So given the fact that we are all holy, why do you go ahead and lord over? Why do you go ahead and literally put yourself over the entire assembly of HaKadosh Baruch Hu?" So say, if you take a look at Rashi, so Rashi HaKadosh says, Kulam Kidoshim, so Rashi says, Kulam Shamu Dvarim B'Sinai Mipi HaBoreh. So says that was something. So again, so Rashi says, we all heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai. At Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to speak to all of us. We all heard him. Therefore, again, you are no more important or no more holy than the rest of us. So why is it that you and Aaron occupy these positions of leadership, and yet I am left out in the cold? That's the Pasha Taina of Korach. Kulam Kidoshim. I will say, you see this theme repeated over and over throughout the parasha. Korach constantly saying, we're all holy, we're all holy, we're all holy. Korach seemingly creating this concept or this mindset that really we're all equal. All of us are the same. And as such, you, Moshe, have no right to claim any level of leadership superiority over the rest of us. So Rabbi Nachman has a really tremendous insight here. We're not going to do this whole piece, but I brought it to you down anyway. You can look at it on your own as well. So go to the episode by paragraph A. Kulam kidoshim ma'adua tisnasu. So it says, the obvious shayla is, what does Korach's taina mean? What does this mean, kulam kidoshim? We're all holy. Of course, every single Jew is holy. We all know that. That's not a shayla. We all possess kedusha. But what exactly is Korach saying? Is Korach saying everyone's equal? Is Korach saying everyone is the same? Korach saying that everybody has... What does it mean? Just on a basic level, not everybody's the same. So what's the mean? That's just we're going to speak about this more on Shabbat this morning in the Parashah Shir. This Yisod, how Klal Yisrael is made up of different segments and different groups, and that's necessary because that contributes towards the totality of Klal Yisrael. If Klal Yisrael is only made up of the same kind of person, we become a monolithic nation, and we're unable to accomplish the things that we desperately need to accomplish. So what's the pshat? So Rabbi Nachman says something amazing. It's paragraph A. Kalatos shel Korach. The entire mistake of Korach, Hoya, Shemachmas Gasuso, paragraph B, Nidmelo Shahakol Shavim. As a result of his arrogance, Korach assumed that everyone was the same. Velo Rotzo Lahamin, Shagamat Sadikim Hakid. So what does that mean, everyone is the same? So look at this. Velo Rotzo Lahamin, Shagamat Sadikim Hakidoshim, Tsrichin Milchama Gidola Im Hayetzer Hara, Shalamalo Shubichinas Dinim. Korach and us are going to make sense of this in just a moment. Korach didn't believe, let me say differently. Korach felt that once a person was on the level of a tzaddik, of a kaddish, then there is no longer any need for them to do battle with their Yetzirah. In other words, once a person reaches a certain level, the Yetzirah is no longer problematic. The Yetzirah is no longer an issue. The Yetzirah, ultimately, again, I no longer have to fear the Yetzirah, I no longer have to battle the Yetzirah. V'amar, Shemir Shezocha L'mayla Hagidolim, Shuv Ein Tzarech Milchama Klal. Korach's ideology was, or what he thought was, once a person reaches a certain level, what he calls Milas Hagidolim, once a person reaches a particular level, person is considered to be great, whatever that means, a person doesn't have to do any milchama. There's no longer any internal battle. There's no longer any internal war. Rather, again, a person has successfully vanquished the Yetzirah and Ein Al Malo Daber. There's no longer any kind of battle that needs to be waged. Vim came, Hakol Shavim. Therefore, again, what? Everyone ultimately, again, is the same. What does it mean, everyone is the same? So look at this. He says, Ve'ein chilek bein Moshe, ve'aron, u'bein shar ha'gidolim. There's no difference between Moshe, there's no difference between Aaron, there's no difference between all of the great people. U'beprat, so we'll say, you hear what the Rebbe is saying? According to Korach, Korach's whole ideology was that after a certain point in time, that you go ahead and you reach a certain level, your Yetzirah vanishes. There's no longer a Yetzirah. So after Kulana Gidolim, after Kulana Kidoshim, so by definition, Korach is saying you reach the level of godless, your Yetzirah is vanquished, it's done. Therefore, says the Rebbe, Obeprat Sha'az Hayu Kol Yisrael B'malo Gavua Ma'od. Remember again, at this point in time, all of Klal Yisrael was on a very high level. Ki Zochu Kulam, Lahasagas Nevuas Panim B'Panim. Now remember again, there is a chronological machlokes about when exactly the rebellion of Korach took place. Did the rebellion of Korach take place, like it says in the parasha, like it says in the Torah, after Parashah, after the sin of the Meraglim, or did the rebellion of Korach actually take place earlier, perhaps immediately after Matan Torah? Perhaps immediately after Sinaitic revelation. So we'll discuss this. And the Rebbe points this out. So look what he says. So the Rebbe says, Korach feels like this. After Har Sinai, when literally again we were all able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever that means. We were all able to hear from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever that means. We were all able to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, as we're saying, even though on Har Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu was allowed to go up to the top, and Yoshua was allowed to a certain point, and Aaron was allowed to a certain point, and Klal Yisrael has to stay at the base of the mountain. Even though that is true, at the end of the day, everyone hears from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At the end of the day, everyone communicates with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At the end of the day, everyone has that level of communion. He goes on, Kizochu Kulam, it's the line right before the letter C, Kizochu Kulam, Lahasagas Nevuas Panim Epanim. Everyone has the ability to go ahead and reach the level of Nevuah Panim Epanim. Right? They literally all have the ability to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu face to face. V'zeu Shamar, we'll say, now we understand. Look what the Rebbe says. V'zeu Shamar, so we'll say, you clearly see the Rebbe feels. Now whether the Rebbe is saying that he subscribes to the approach that the rebellion of Korach is right after Har Sinai, or he's just saying, Lav Dafka, that's the after Har Sinai, but this was bubbling up. You have to realize, a rebellion like this, Savosai, doesn't happen overnight. A rebellion like this, you know, sometimes it happens in life where people have negative feelings. And what happens? Now, I know, not no one here, I'm just saying. You know, it could happen that you have a friend, right? You know, you have a friend, and the friend has negative feelings. So what happens very often with negative feelings? We suppress them. Now, again, you know, Dr. Lawson's here. You could speak with him about whether or not that's healthy. But Lamaisa, at the end of the day, we suppress a lot of stuff. I will say, suppression is wonderful. Well, no, I don't think it's wonderful, but it might work for a little bit of time. Until when? Until when? Until it doesn't, right? Meaning, and also I just want to point out, by the way, we see something very similar that happens. I actually spoke about this in last night's shir, my parasha shir. We spoke about this last night. This happens to Moshe Rabbeinu in last week's parasha, right? Moshe Rabbeinu, after Klal Yisrael goes ahead and complains about meat, Klal Yisrael wants meat. You remember again what Moshe Rabbeinu says? Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Hanochi Arisi? Am I the mother? Right? Did I give birth to these people? Do I have to nurse these people? Kasher Yisa Omen Es Hayonik? I have to carry them around like a little baby?" Moshe Rabbeinu loses it. Moshe Rabbeinu loses it. I will say, just by the way, just as an aside, I just learned an incredible Musar. Everyone needs an opportunity to vent. Because it's like the buildup. If the steam doesn't have a place to go, so the pipes will burst. But what's the chap in life? You have to find a healthy way to let off the steam. You have to find a healthy way to vent. See, I will say, if you notice again, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't lose it in front of the people. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't go nuts on them when he has this whole, and it's literally like a meltdown. It's him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's venting, he's expressing his frustration, but he's keeping it in a positive. We'll say, we encounter this all the time, because we've all had times where there's a build-up. I suppress, I build up, the stress is there, and what happens? Usually, the trigger is something somewhat innocuous, and mamish like, I'm off the reservation. Suddenly, again, I am tearing anything and everyone down. A rebellion like this doesn't just happen overnight. this has been bubbling up in Korach probably since Matan Torah. Actually, you know, Rashi points out that it has to do with the fact that Elitzafan ben Uziel was appointed to the head of the tribal head of the family. But Lamaisa, that was just an excuse. At the end of the day, this has been bubbling up in Korach for a lot of time. So what happens? Korach says, Moshe Rabbeinu, what are you doing? We're all equal. We were all zocha to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lehasagas nevuas panim b'panim. Paragraph C. V'zeh shamar, Rav Lachem, ki kala eida kulam kidoshim. Korach says, Moshe, Rav Lachem, you've taken too much for yourself. Ki kol ha'eida kulam kidoshim, u'bisocham Hashem, u'madua tisnasu'u al kahal Hashem. What was Korach saying? Listen to this. Shehikshe, madua tisnas. Moshe, what right do you have to be in a position of leadership above me? What right do you have to be in charge of me? After all, me'achar, Shekulam kidoshim, we're all holy. Vekulam shamu b'sinai mipi agvura. We all heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kimo shadar shabasinu zal. Haynu shekulam b'ma'ala gavon. What's the chav? Look at the Rebbe's next words. V'nisbatal mehem ayetzahara. Korach says, Moshe, we're all the same. You see, Rashi HaKadosh says that the taina of Korach was that we all heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We all heard from God. So if I heard from God and you heard from God, why are you greater than me? So I'll tell you why it doesn't really hold water. Because if you're Moshe Rabbeinu, what could you retort? What can you respond? I was in Shemayim. You were down by the base of the mountain. I was on the top of the mountain 40 days, 40 nights, no food, no water, conversing with God and the angels. We're not the same. That's why the Rebbe says something different. The Rebbe says that the taina of Korach was the following. To be on a level where you could speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, person has to be a gadol. Person has to be a gavur. Person has to be a kaddish. You can't. And we know, by the way, we know this is true. That's like Klal Yisrael goes through the 49 days of the Omer, lifting themselves up. They are gedolim. They are kedoshim by the time they come to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Korach's understanding of that gadlus is that if we were zochet to that level of hashras hashchina, that level of divine interaction, now what does that mean? That our yitzhahara is gone. That the Yetzahara is gone. That I no longer have any evil inclination. I no longer have any kind of proclivity or desire for sin. I am purged from my Yetzahara. Ki paska zuhu masan. I'll say this is a reference to the idea of the Zohar. That when the Jews stood at Har Sinai, the zuama, the impurity of the nachash, of the original sin, fell away from Klal Yisrael. We've been cleansed from all averos, from all sin, even from original sin. And at the end of the day, the Yetzahara is dead. When we stood at Har Sinai, and ultimately we went ahead and we heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then what? The Yetzirah ultimately was obliterated. The Yetzirah is gone. Therefore, Moshe, I don't understand. You have no Yetzirah. I have no Yetzirah. If that's the case, Kulam Kedoshim, Umadua Tisnasua Kal Hashem. He says, V'zochul nevuas panim b'panim, l'shmua misinai pi agvura, anochi v'lo yelecha. V'im kein, ma ma'alaschem shal Moshe v'aron, gavoa yoser mikulam. If that's the case, again, so Korach says to Moshe and Aaron, why are you any greater than us? Well, see, you hear this tiny, you hear what's happening over here? Korach is tiny, that at the end of the day, we all lost the Yitzhahara at Har Sinai. We know no one has Yitzhahara. So once the Yitzhahara is done, we'll say, what does it mean if the Yitzhahara is done? Once the Yitzhahara is gone, Korach posits, then the truth is, to a certain degree, we all are on this. Meaning, the fact that the Yitzhahara is present, that's the great defining force in life. In other words, how you combat your Yitzhahara ultimately determines your relative level of tzidkus. Once there's no Yetzer Hara, then by definition, to a certain degree, there is an equality amongst men. So what Korach is timing is, we all stood at Har Sinai. The Ribbono Shel Olam spoke to all of us. Paska Zuhu Masan, the original chet of the Nachash, falls away. Korach presupposes that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us, was willing to speak to us, which was unparalleled, then it must be the Yitzhahara was done for all of us. If none of us have the Yitzhahara, then by definition, Kulam Kedoshim. Ki Eich Shayach Od Ma'ala Yisera Me'achar Shekvar Paska Zuhu Masan U'batal Mehem HaYitzhar V'Kulam Kedoshim. After the Yitzhahara is dead, after the Yitzhahara is gone, so says Korach, we're all the same. The playing field is even. If the playing field is even, then why can't I be the Kohen Gadol? Then why can't I be the Navi? Why can't I be the Melech Yisrael? Paragraph D. Bosei, get ready for this. About the MS. Kol Zeh. Bosei, by the way, you also begin to understand, now you understand, by the way, the danger of Korach. Why was Korach so dangerous? Why was Korach so dangerous, you will say? Right? I'm sorry?
He sounded right.
He sounded right. And you know, remember, the most dangerous people, and you see this all the time today, are people who feel that they are fighting for God. When you feel that you are waging the holy war, then by definition, everything is just. And also, that's why you see the most, you see what just happened. Which airport was it at? Where the in Flint? Where do people even come up with this stuff? Stab someone on the neck? Where does that? I'm seeing where does that even come from? Where do you have a mina like that? You want to go ahead and assert spiritual superiority? You want to say you're the best thing? You want to say you're the religion of it? Fine, but where did Hechate say that you stab someone in the neck and somehow that's an affirmation of your religious values? Where does that come from? So we'll say. What that comes from is the danger. See, Korach's danger was, I will say, he thought he had no Yetzirah. If I have no Yetzirah, then what? I mean, if there's no Yetzirah, then what is there? Right? If there's only Yetzirah Tov. Which means that anything and everything that I'm feeling must be correct. Must be correct. So if I'm feeling like I should be the leader, you see, if I had a Yetzirah, I'd call that Gaiva. But I don't have a Yetzirah anymore. So it can't be gaiva. Rather, what must it be? It must be spiritual. What's the right word? Not optimism.
Superiority
or confidence. A spiritual confidence that this is what I should be doing. I should be the leader. Well, see, you hear this is why Korach was such a reckless danger to Klal Yisrael, because he never even had a havamina that he was wrong. Why did he never have a havamina? We'll say, just by the way, you understand, right? How crazy do you have to be when Moshe Rabbeinu tells everybody to take the Ketoras? How crazy do you have to be to do that? Nadav and Avihu. Nadav and Avihu died, at least according to many of the Mepharshim, because they offered up, Ish Zara, I'm losing my English tonight. Alien fire, right? Unauthorized. Good, thank you. Unauthorized incense, right? So they died because of that. And by the way, they offered it up in the Mishkan. And yet now Moshe will say, fine, you guys want to give this a try? Give it a try. Why don't you all show up with Ketoras? Craziness. In that moment, they should have realized, oh my gosh, the writing's on the wall. This is a bad idea. But yet they show up. How can you be so blind? How can you be so reckless? Alamai Rabosai, because you don't feel you have a Yetzer Hara. When you feel that, again, I'm impervious. It's not my Yetzer Hara, it's my Yetzer Tov. This is coming from a good place. Then the Maisik and Rabosai, you could commit all kinds of negative things. Rabosai, this is part of the major Musa that comes from the Rebbe. Sometimes in life, it is important for a person to do a self-check. Because at times we assume that we know the MS. I know what's right. I know what's right. Really? You sure you know what's right? Are you positive that what you think is right is really right? What's informing that sense of right? Right? Every so often a person has to do this is part of Cheshbon Nefesh. Take a step back. And let me look at the things that I assume are correct, are real, and are valid. And let me analyze that value system just to make sure. I'm not talking about things we'll say like Shabbos and belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm talking about like things that we do in life or values that we have to do a little bit of a self-check just to make sure they're correct. So Korach is waging this holy war and he mamish feels that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on his side because he figures that since the Yetzirah died at Har Sinai and we're Kulam Kedoshim, we're all on the same level. And so if I feel that I should be the leader, that can't be coming from Gaiva. Rather, it must be coming from the wellspring of Kedusha and Tara. So could the Rabbi write his paragraph.
Is he arguing for no leader at all? Because he's saying that there's Bitzel Yetzirah, which also means that Moshe can't do wrong either, right? Moshe can't be a bad guy either, because there's no
Yetzirah. So it would appear that according to the Rebbe, what he's advocating for is seeing
everybody gets
this is equality. Right, everyone's equal. There is no need. There is no need for a leadership hierarchy anymore.
But he was there, the leadership.
But if you think about it, where does he ever say that in the Pesukim? In the Pesukim, all he says is Rav Lachem Bnei, meaning if you notice Korach's his argument is a very interesting one. That's why I think what's beautiful over here about the Rebbe. The Rebbe is positing that it's quite possible that even though Rashi and all the other Mepharshim understand the narrative over here is that he's looking for power, the Rebbe says, I don't know. I don't see that in the Pasuk. And it's quite possible that actually what he's arguing for is, sometimes in life, if a person's very petty. So what they would rather have is, I'd rather, if I'm not going to have it, I'd rather you not have it either. I mean, better for both of us not to have it than for you to have it than for me not to have it. So Korach seems to, according to the evidence you're arguing, is why do we need a hierarchy? We've reached the pinnacle of spiritual accomplishment. The Rebbe is there. The leader is there. The Manik is there. The Melech is there to lift the people up. We're lifted up. What need is there for you? So yes, that's what it sounds like. The Korach is actually, when he says, Kulam Kedoshim, which by the way, I have to tell you something. The reason when I saw this piece by the Rebbe, the story of Korach itself, the whole story doesn't make sense. Because if you understand that Korach, Va'adaso, if they're arguing about the Kuna Gedola, first of all, there's only one coin. There's only one coin Gadol. There's only one manhig. What do the 250 people have in this? What's the expression? Dog in the show.
Dog in the race.
Dog in the fight. Right. I mean, what's their dog in the fight? I'm saying, what do they have in this? So the simple answer is, some people just like to fight. When there's a machlokes, there's always that chevra that just loves to jump in. It doesn't matter what the cause is, right? If it's something that they can roll up their sleeves and argue, the imam is ready to jump into it. But the whole thing doesn't make sense. What are they arguing for? What do they want? You've got people from Shevet Reuven. They're not going to become Levi'im, no matter what. I mean, Shevet Levi's already been designated. So Korach seems to be arguing for one thing. The 250 guys, it's not clear what they're arguing for. So the Rebbe says, because in reality, what Korach is saying is, abolish the leadership system. I don't need you, Moshe. You are obsolete. You are a relic of the past. You are a relic of the pre-Sinaitic Klal Yisrael. But post-Sinaitic Klal Yisrael, Kulam Kedoshim, Yitzhar is dead. We're all our own manhigim. You know, Moshe, there's a beautiful idea that in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says one of the Aseh L'Charav, right? Aseh L'Charav, Kenei L'Chachaver. So Aseh L'Charav, so we know, means a person should have a Rebbe. So there's an astounding insight by the Medrash Shmuel. The Medrash Shmuel is a Shmuel Uzida. So he says, Aseh L'Charav means, Aseh L'Cha, make yourself into the Rav. I know a lot of people who do that, right? But I'm saying, what does that mean? What Shmuel Uzida says is, it means, is don't outsource your ruchnius. Sometimes what we do is, I make the Rebbe, or I make the Rav, or I make the teacher, I make the mashpi, I make them in charge. Inspire me, right? I'm ready. You know, bring it on. I'll even put down the remote, right? I'm mamish, I'm a kli to be makabla, bring it on. Say the charav. I don't know, says Shmuel Uzida, be your own Rebbe. Self-inspire. Teach yourself. Lift yourself up. He's not arguing with the fact that Aseh L'Charav also means that everybody has to have a Rebbe in life. But he's saying, don't outsource your ruchnius to your Rebbe. Own your ruchnius. Own yourself. So the Rebbe is saying over here that Korach is saying, Kulana Kidoshim. We're all Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? We're all Moshe. We're all Moshe. So at the end of the day, for all Moshe, why do you have to occupy this exalted position of leadership? We're all the Kohen Gadol. Aaron, why do you have to be singled out? Paragraph D. About the MS, Kol Zeta Machmas Kasuso. I was saying, here we come to the root of the problem. The root of the problem was the Yitzhara wasn't dead. That's the real root of the problem. The Yitzhara is never dead. The Yitzhara is always alive. Sometimes you can knock him unconscious. Sometimes he takes a long weekend. Sometimes he's a little bit quiet or a little bit dormant, but he's never dead. He's never gone. So what Korach thought was righteous indignation burning in his neshama was in fact gaiva, was in fact arrogance. Ki be'emes, afa pi shepaska zuhu masan, adayin hayutzrichin kol echad ve'echad milchama gidola ima yitzara shalamala, shebechinas malach hakadosh bechinas gevuras adin. Paragraph E. The Rebbe says, you're right. Did something happen at Har Sinai? Absolutely. Paska Zul Masan. What does Paska Zul Masan mean? Paska Zul Masan means that there was an element of the original chait of Adam and Chava that had plagued humanity, all of humanity. And when Klal Yisrael says, Na'aseh v'nishma at Har Sinai, when Klal Yisrael speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so at the end of the day, that tuma ceases. Does that mean the Yitzhara was gone? I mean, the Yitzhara was done? Says Rebbe, absolutely not. The Yitzhara will say, you could conquer certain parts of the Yitzhara, but the Yitzhara is always there, I will say. The Nilchama against the Yitzhara is a constant, ongoing battle. Paragraph E. V'yalkein, I will say, you understand like the profundity of this? On one hand, I know when you read these lines, it's a little bit overwhelming, because what it tells you is the following. No matter how hard you fight, and no matter how many battles you win, the war is always ongoing. Even if I had a successful day against the Yitzhahara, today I kept them at bay, maybe I even pushed them back a little bit, or at least I held my ground, that is no guarantee for tomorrow. Tomorrow is its own brand new battle. And even though, again, at Har Sinai, some of the original tumor, some of the tumor of Klal Yisrael, of humanity, was swept away by Nasa v'Nishma, at the end of the day, the Yitzhahara was still alive and kicking. Paragraph E. Va'al kein, be'emes, kama nechshalu, achar kach becheita egel u'meraglim. So the Rebbe says, here's the proof. What's the proof? Rebbe said the Yitzhahara was still alive and well. What's the proof? The proof was Chet Egel, sin of the golden calf. The proof was the miraculum, the sin of the spies. And by the way, those are just the major ones, right? That's not counting like the smaller episodes in between that were also clear displays of a very healthy and robust Yetzirah. V'atilu osan shelo nechshelu, aval adayim yesh lahim lochamos v'bechina niskalel. Me'achar, sheyesh lahim adayim lochamos bevadei ein kulam shavim. V'yesh beinehem madrigos. Below Shir. So we'll say, the Rebbe says, and I'll say this is amazing, not everybody's equal. Not everybody is the same. There are some people who are great, there are some people who are not as great, and there are some people who are not great at all. Everybody has beautiful potential, but not everybody actualizes that potential. So as such, the mistake of Korach is he thought the Yitzhara was gone. Meanwhile, the Yitzhara was alive and well. And the true definition of Osai of success in life is how your ability to manage, and I won't even say defeat, because you can't defeat, I'll call it repel the Yetzirah. To what degree can I repel the Yetzirah? To what degree can I push him away? I will say that is the true metric of life success. To banish him, not going to happen. To conquer him, not going to happen. To stand there with my foot on his throat, not going to happen. But the shail is, can I repel him? Can I advance just a little bit every day, knowing full well that he's still going to be there tomorrow, and he's still going to battle against me tomorrow? And therefore, again, Korach was wrong. Because everybody had different dargas. Because Moshe Rabbeinu dealt with his Yetzirah, because yes, even Moshe Rabbeinu's Yetzirah, he has his milchamas, and he wages his milchamas in one way. And Aaron wages his milchamas in another way. And Korach wages his milchamas in another way. Ki kol echad kefi mashe zacha l'shaber ha-yetzar. Every person, Rabbi Osei, is judged in accordance or is evaluated in his accordance with his ability to conquer this. Rabbi Osei, this is such an incredible piece. Understand something. Greatness in life is defined by our ability to defeat Yitzhara. But here's the incredible part. My Yitzhara is not your Yitzhara. Rabbi Osei, sometimes, it's interesting when this happens. Sometimes you'll hear whatever, a story or in the news or something about someone who suffered a terrible downfall because of some type of lapse in judgment. Whether it's a moral lapse or an immoral lapse, whether it's a financial lapse, you say to yourself, how could someone be so stupid? Right? I don't understand. You couldn't control yourself? And we'll say, that's because I might not have that person's Yetzirah. I might not have the Yetzirah. So we'll say, so it could be, my Yetzirah is not for money. So when I hear about somebody cheating someone else in business, I can't understand that. But my Yetzirah might be in Gidarayas, it might be in immorality. And someone else says, I don't understand, why can't you control yourself? What is the big deal? Because I will say, at the end of the day, each of us have our own, there's the famous Arizal. The Ari brings down, we actually learned about this in Gan Emunah. He brings up very beautifully that everybody wants to know what their tachlis is in this world. What's my purpose in this world? Like, what am I doing here? So the Ariza says something amazing. It's really it's a mardik yisod. He said that most of us struggle with something. There's a thing. Meaning, I have many struggles, but there's usually like one thing that I struggle with constantly. And for many, I would venture to say, most of us probably have that one thing that we've been struggling with probably for 20, 30 years. Right? And it's the same thing. The Arizal says, if you want to know what your tachlis is in this world, he says, if you struggle with one thing, very often what that can mean is that I'm a Gilgal, that my neshama came back, my neshama was here, left this world with unfinished work. And there's one avoda, there's one thing that my neshama needs to be metaking. And it's that thing. The Arizal says, you want to know what your purpose here in this world is? Figure out what your greatest weakness is. Figure out what your greatest nisayon is. Figure out what is hardest for you to perfect in life. And the Arizal says, chances are, That's why you're here. That's why you're here. That Yetzer Hara, that's why I'm here. Korach thinks at the end of the Yetzer Hara is gone, everybody is the same. Moshe doesn't even say it, but he doesn't understand. It's not true. The Yetzer Hara is never gone. We'll say, this is an incredibly important Yisrael, and that's why, you know, a person should never think that an Avera is beyond them. You know, sometimes, a person says, I know what my weaknesses are, but I would never do that. Well, I'm saying, never say that. Because the truth is, human nature is such that if a person is given the opportunity to do that, they'll do it. We're capable of all kinds of crazy stuff. And l'maisa, again, the klal gadol is, if the Ribono Shel Olam prohibits it, it means that man somewhere has a deep, dark desire for it, whether we're consciously aware of it or not consciously aware of it. That's the nature of the Yetzer Hara. And therefore, even the greatest tzaddikim have to battle their demons, have to battle their Yetzer Hara. The difference just is that their Yetzer Hara is going to be different than my Yetzer Hara. V'alkein, bevadai, ein laharich ulidamos shabbat Yisrael, afal pi shikulam kedoshim. So says the Rebbe Korach, are you right? Is it true kulam kedoshim? And what's the answer? Of course. Well, who's going to argue that say? Of course, kulam kidoshim, but not like the way you understand it. You understand kulam kidoshim that we're all on the same level because none of us have challenges. Korach, what planet are you living on? Really, did you speak to your 250 followers? Did you ask them if they had any challenges today? Because I guarantee if you would ask them, they would tell you yes. Korach himself might have been on a heightened spiritual level. It's possible. But he didn't understand that everyone has their struggles, and our struggles are different, and we have to deal with our struggles differently, and our nisyonos are different, and therefore, and the more efforts we put into battling our nisyonos and conquering our demons, that results in our relative kedusha. Paragraph F, he says, did Moshe and Aaron have their nisyonos? Of course they did. We know that Shabbos say, why? What's Moshe Rabbeinu's? Moshe Rabbeinu's nisyon, his nisyon seems to be kas. Right? Again, remember, his downfall is by Meimariva, right? Because of kas, because of anger. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's nisyon. What's Aaron's nisyon? Shabbos say, Aaron was a magnificent Rodev Shalom. But you know that even sometimes Redifas Shalom gets you into trouble. Sometimes you have to know when to make peace. Sometimes you have to know when to give a patch. I mean, metaphorically. You know, sometimes you have to know, again, when to extend your hand and when to pull your hand back. Aaron doesn't draw the line in the sand by the Chete Egel. And therefore, again, you know, the Arachayim HaKadosh points out that at the end of the episode of the Egel, the Torah says, Es HaEgel Asher Asa Aaron. Arachayim HaKadosh says, Ribono Shalom, why do you have to do that? Why do you do that? Why do you have to call it the eagle? We read the story. Elamai, because Moshe Shalom is giving a little bit of Musar. Maybe you shouldn't have been such a Rodev Shalom. Maybe you should have told them, Marana Rabbana, no, we are not doing this. Don't stall for time. Be a leader and make an affirmative stand. Everybody has their nisyonos. The greatness of Moshe and Aaron was their willingness ultimately to go ahead and face their demons and try to battle back the Yetzer Hara. The Korach pagam bazev amar ki kala ido kulam kidoshim ubisocham Hashem umaduatis nasu al kal Hashem umeacher shekafar b'maylas Moshe v'Aaron kafar b'chol haTorah shenitna ayadam ad shenevdu hu b'chol adaso. And I will say, the moment that Korach just simply says everyone is the same, and therefore there's no Yetzer Hara, I will say, the moment that you say there's no Yetzer Hara, you open up the door for all kinds of terrible and irrational types of behaviors. Therefore, by definition, Korach's rebellion, which amazingly enough seems to have stemmed from a beautiful Kaddishdik place, it stemmed from a feeling that we're all holy, was rooted in a horrible misunderstanding. Korach thinking that at the end of the day there was no Yetzer Hara. Because he thought he had no Yetzer Hara, he assumed that all of those feelings that he experienced inside were legitimate halig feelings, when in fact they weren't. It was arrogance. It was self-aggrandizement. It was egocentricity. That's what was happening inside of him. But he couldn't understand. But I must say, what comes out from the Rebbe, besides the beautiful interpretation into the story, what really comes out from Rabbi Nachman is something like this, which is, sometimes we think that our goal is to defeat the Yetzer Hara. If that's the goal, I'm setting myself up for failure. I can't defeat the Yetzer Hara. What I can do is beat him back. Every single day is a battle, I will say. Every single day there's a war to be waged. And success is defined by how you do on the battlefield of life on that day. That war cannot be waged in weeks and months and years. That war is a daily battle. And what the Rebbe is teaching us about saying is that no matter how great you are, there's a battle to be waged. But here's the secret to successful spiritual living. See, sometimes we look at the overarching strategy for how to be successful in life. We're saying, there is no overarching strategy for being successful in life. There is a daily strategy for being successful in life. I wake up in the morning, I say Modani, and boom, I'm on the battlefield. There's no like getting yourself, there's no like, let me have a cup of coffee HR before you start up with me. Right? There's none of it. I'll say, you open your eyes and the battle has begun. And it's important for us to be cognizant of that the battle is there. And it's important for us to understand that that's our avodah, Rabbi Osei. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about next week. Don't worry about next year. My avodah is to try to figure out, I'm on the battlefield today, how am I going to be successful? Knowing that my success will not result in the death of my archenemy. It will not result in the disappearance of my archenemy, the Yetzer Hara. But the little bit of ground that I gained today, Rabbi Osei, that's mine forever. Because if I gain just a little bit of ground today, then Emirat Hashem puts me just a bit more forward for tomorrow, for the next day. So we should be Zohar and we'll say, first of all, to accept the fact that we all have our nisyonos. You know, sometimes we like to pretend that we don't have weaknesses. We'll say it's okay to have weaknesses, because everybody has weaknesses. If Moshe Rabbeinu has a weakness, if Aaron HaKohen has a weakness, then of course we have weaknesses as well. But there's something empowering about acknowledging your weaknesses, because when you acknowledge it, when you identify it, when you name the demons, then you are empowered to be able to fight them. Hashem Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmaya, Rabbosai, to find the courage to wage the battle each and every day. We should be zochah mi'aretz Hashem to be able to gain even just a little bit of ground each and every day. And halavai, each of those independent daily battles should allow us after 120 to be successful in the war.
That's right.